The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for the Thunderbolts. Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Welcome to the Thunderbolt for June 21st, 2019. Here at the Thunderbolt, we pride ourselves on keeping listeners never knowing what is going to hit them next. And in keeping with that end, I am going to start this week's show off with something totally different than I have ever done before. And in fact, this first piece is actually more art than political commentary. And so this will be the first Thunderbolt I have ever actually copyrighted. So first, I wish to draw upon the imagination of the listening audience as you picture Julie, a tiny, magical, 19-year-old elfin-like creature of great delight who, rather than walking, instead ambulated about her universe by dancing everywhere that she went. There is a lady named Olivia who works at the food co-op that does the same thing. And my friend Sherry sometimes does it as well. It is an utterly enchanting and delightful habit, and I really wish that more people would take it up. Now, let me take you back to the mid-70s, and I ask you to imagine beautiful and dainty little Julie and a very young me hiking in the Grand Teton mountain range. And then imagine that we come across a huge open meadow packed wall to wall with waist-high yellow flowers that are gently waving in the breezes. It is like a sea of dancing yellow delight, as we take in this incredible spectacle. Julie and I laugh and talk and joke and dream. We are young. This place is awesomely beautiful. We are awesomely beautiful. And we are living in the middle of a miracle. But then suddenly, a thunderstorm strikes. Rain is pouring. Lightning is flashing. And thunder is crashing all around us. The gusty winds threaten to knock both of us off of our feet. But then, we notice that rather than gently swaying, the endless acres of yellow flowers are now instead swinging wildly back and forth in seemingly choreographed waves. Yes, they shimmer in weaving, dancing, and ever-changing patterns throughout the meadow. Then, like some erratic, slow-motion, cosmic strobe light, at irregular intervals, averaging every few seconds, but sometimes, several times within the space of a few seconds, the entire scene is illuminated by blinding lightning flashes. And amidst the barrage-like lightning and thunder, and drenched by driving, screaming wind and rain, Julie and I are both crying out in pure amazement and joy. We laugh hysterically. We scream at every especially close lightning strike. And we occasionally exchange odd glances of wonder that we are privileged to live in such an incredible universe. Yes, kids, Julie and I are riders on the storm. Ha! Pretty magical, eh? What else could possibly add to this already insanely indescribable vortex of synergistic awesomeness that was pouring down ever so overabundantly upon my grateful little head? Well, hang on to your horses for a moment, kids, and I'll tell you. For now, dear listeners, I invite you to behold the climactic cymbal crash and the triumphant finale in this symphony of magic. For I now invite you to imagine Julie simultaneously laughing and crying like a little kid as she rips off all of her clothes and begins dancing with the flowers. She follows the wind, just like they do. She joins them. She essentially becomes them. And now, I further invite you to imagine that as Julie is dancing with the flowers, her already sweet and darling little face is radiating and transformed by one of the most beatific smiles of pure ecstatic joy that I have ever seen. And every time that the lightning strikes near us, Julie screams in delight and then quickly turns and opens her arms to catch the thunder. I, of course, ripped off my own clothes and joined her. The fact that we both knew full well that doing this was as dangerous as hell did not even cross either of our minds. Because we both knew that on this day, we were both protected by the gods. Except for witnessing the birth of my daughter, the spectacle of Julie dancing naked with the flowers in the thunderstorm was the most mind-blowingly awesome thing that has ever happened to me. And had Julie and I never become lovers, my life would have been deprived of this experience that I now so treasure and that can bring tears to my eyes to this very day. And in fact, it did so again just now as I was typing this story. All of my best memories for my whole frigging life happened either when I was alone or when I was with a special lady. And the special ladies in my life have always been very special, and I have always treated them as such. And if I was a bit of a slut at times in my life, I was always a totally honest and a highly respectful one. The actual sex part was relatively irrelevant anyway. Plugging into the wonders of female magic was the important part, and the sex part served mostly to enhance and simplify that process. So, moving right along now, I recently had a listener who had a comment about a previous Thunderbolt called Wagging Penises. And I would like to share that comment with you now. But since I have a feeling that the commenter in question would not want me using her actual name in this context, then I will apply the nom de guerre, Boss. She probably won't like that either, but I think that it fits. So anyway, Boss tends to growl and bark at you, and if there are any sentimental warm fuzzies in Boss's harsh glare, then those fuzzies are not bestowed lightly, and you're damn well going to have to earn them. And evidently, I have not, as I have never seen them. So Boss is a member in good standing of our rather large, formidable warrior women of Olympia caucus. There is no organized caucus. Just a lot of members. So whatever Boss may think of me, what I can say about her is that I have the deepest respect for her formidable accomplishments and knowledge. In addition, Boss is a walking encyclopedia of local Olympia activist history, and she freaking knows everything about everybody in the Olympia power structure. And she knows everything that everybody is up to. Often, to the Olympia power structure's great distress. Yes, Boss kicks major ass. She is smart as a whip, determined as a bulldog, and as abrasive as a jackhammer. But I think the most effective weapon in her activist toolkit is that most people are simply afraid not to do whatever Boss wants them to do. So I just thought of the ultimate nightmare scenario. You are some penis-wagging government baby killer, and suddenly you find yourself naked and alone in a closed room, tied to a bed, and Boss comes walking in, bearing a pair of sheep shears. Yeah. Talk about weapons of mass destruction. I think I might option that idea to a Hollywood horror movie producer. Right. Anyway, I wanted to share Boss's response to my thunderbolt about penis waggers, and I would like to do that in the context of my contention that women are actually far superior to men in nearly every way that really counts. Here was Boss's response. Ha ha ha. I think it's great when men get all defensive over not being sexist. Also, I find it odd that men who are, quote, not sexist, unquote, always think that feminism implies a belief system that holds women superior to men. That's also hilarious.
You don't exist, you're off my list, you're just an intruder. You're out of the computer. I didn't abuse you, I didn't shoot you, I just took you out of the computer.
Some men get so confused and squirmy, don't they? Cheers. And here was my reply. Well, hi, boss. At the risk of sounding like a confused, squirmy, defensive male, I would point out that I do not consider women superior to men because I'm a confused, squirmy, defensive male. Besides that, I'm not squirmy. I also don't consider women superior to men because I feel I must conform to some perceived feminist dogma. Come on, boss. I thought you knew me better than that. I run over dogmas every time I drive my karma. No, boss. I consider women superior to men based upon evidence, both empirical and anecdotal. In addition, new scientific discoveries keep backing up my theory. And actually, at this point, I pretty much consider my theory to be established fact. And thus, boss, I am not only a true reverse sexist, but I'm somewhat evangelical about it. And you know, a kind of weird, cool, and interesting side note to all this has also resulted from recent studies. It turns out that purely gay men, i.e. men who have no attraction to women, share many of the same physiological differences in brain function that women have. So possibly, gay men are superior to other men as well. Though that assertion must remain in the realm of theory at this point. Cheers to you too, boss. All right. So next, in keeping with the Thunderbolt's reputation for lighthearted banter, let us discuss nuclear annihilation. We are in the middle of a new nuclear arms race. Yippee. The war machine wants to spend trillions on new nukes, and so the rump is dutifully following the Obama's lead. and doing away with nuclear arms limitation treaties, right and left, resulting in the whole world gearing up for yet another spasm of producing a lot more nuclear weapons. Investment opportunities are available. In addition, evidently one of the few positive efforts that the Rump has been attempting to make since taking office, i.e. making peace with North Korea, well, this effort has reportedly now been sabotaged by John Bolton. And you can say what you like about John Bolton. At least the dude is consistent. So rest easy, even as we launch our new nuclear renaissance, North Korea yet remains safely on our official list of evil enemies suitable for annihilation. And speaking of nuclear annihilation, what of the warlike noises being heard from deep inside the current administration? One of the more alarming things that Michael Cohen said in his testimony to Congress was that he didn't think that Donald Trump would ever voluntarily step down or hand over the reins of power. And that is likely yet another reason that the Rump has spent his entire presidency basically discrediting anyone and everyone who could challenge him for any reason, including any number of theoretical situations wherein the Rump might refuse to honor election results. From the very beginning of his presidency, indeed for his entire life, the Rump has trained his acolytes to believe whatever he says, rather than whatever is actually happening. If he does indeed lose the next election, then, especially if it's a close election, I can very easily picture the Rump saying that the election was fraudulent and calling upon his millions of minions to pick up their arms and take to the streets to protect him should anyone try to remove him from office. The Thunderbolt is fully aware of the fact that once listeners enter into the Thunderbolt domain, it can become far too easy to simply give up and abandon all hope. Therefore, we now wish to offer what may be a small ray of hope coming to us all the way from the other side of the pond, so to speak. The head of NATO, I am forgetting his name, and I don't care enough about it to go look it up, addressed a joint session of the American Congress a few weeks ago. This is the first time that has ever happened. I am hoping that the head of NATO was just stroking the Rump with empty rhetoric. Because basically, he was there to promise the American lawmakers that Europe would start spending a lot more on their own military. Much to the delight of the American war profiteers, who would greatly profit from such a build-up. And that hopeful sign that I mentioned came when the head of NATO passionately promised that European countries were ready to start seriously beefing up their militaries, and that we all had the rum to thank for that development. And what gave me hope was that on the video of this speech, Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi can both be seen on camera sitting right next to each other behind the head of NATO. And without hesitation, Mike Pence jumped to his feet and began wildly applauding this statement. Whilst Miss Pelosi remained seated for a few seconds until she saw that everyone else in the room were rising and applauding. And so, much more slowly, Miss Pelosi also finally arose and began applauding. But she applauded with much less enthusiasm than that displayed by the Vice President. And I think the small things like that often say much larger things. I think it is significant that a warmonger like Nancy Pelosi would hesitate for even just a few seconds to stand for such a statement, rather than a knee-jerk reaction. The Speaker of the House actually had to do a quick political calculation on how to respond. And I believe that her hesitation represents evidence that we are finally getting through to the warmongers on the left, anyway. We're going to take a quick station break. We'll be back in just a minute. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Welcome to part two of the Thunderbolt, where this week we proudly present Anti-Conspiracy Conspiracies. And we will start off with the Kennedy assassination. Yes, just because you think they're all out to get you does not necessarily mean that they are not. Except in those rare cases of lone geniuses living inside their own heads, virtually everything that happens in human affairs is the result of a conspiracy, or two or more people getting together and planning something. Usually, nefariously. And I would note that the term conspiracy theorist first came into use as a pejorative in an effort to discredit critics of the Warren Commission report on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. I think that the term tinfoil hats also came into vogue at around this same time. And thus, before you start going around denigrating conspiracy theories, keep in mind that the head of the conspiracy to kill President Kennedy went on to become the lead investigator in the investigation into the Kennedy assassination in everything but name. And he was the author of most of the Warren Commission report on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And thus, the Warren Commission report on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy contains some pretty serious flaws in both the supposed facts and in the conclusion they reached to fit those facts. And they had to very seriously reach, and I mean really reach, to make their story fit their facts. Except for a few outliers, no one defends the Warren Commission report anymore. Congress has even officially rejected its conclusions. Thus, the conspiracy theorists that everyone so denigrated back in the day eventually turned out to be spot on. And then we have CIA drug trafficking conspiracies. When people like me started calling out the CIA for dealing drugs back in the 80s, we were viciously and universally derided by the press as, what else? Conspiracy theorists. And when a San Jose Mercury reporter named Gary Webb got the goods and named the name concerning how the CIA was directly responsible for flooding South Los Angeles with crack cocaine, then rather than being showered with adulation and a Nobel Prize, Mr. Webb was instead fired and blacklisted, after which no one else would hire him. Gary Webb soon thereafter committed suicide. Gary Webb's reporting, though, was later proven to, if anything, have been seriously understated. And next on the conspiracy theory hit list, we have chemtrails. The chemtrail people are also the butt of many jokes. Even though the United States government has been caught numerous times poisoning both foreigners and American citizens from the air with various forms of toxic whatever. Often, they were conducting, quote, experiments, unquote, to see what would happen. And in 1950, the U.S. Navy conducted an experiment they codenamed Operation Sea Spray, wherein they secretly sprayed the population of San Francisco with Serratia marchesans, a pathogenic bacteria. And this was but one of hundreds of similar such experiments. In 1953, the the U.S. Army secretly dumped a carcinogen on unknowing Canadians in Winnipeg and in Alberta as part of a Cold War weapons test. In 1977, the U.S. Army admitted that they had conducted 239 germ warfare tests in open air between 1949 and 1969. Using the public as human guinea pigs in New York, San Francisco, Key West, and numerous other American cities. And yet another big hit on the conspiracy parade is that the government has abducted people against their will and then brainwashed them using numerous methods, including administering mind-altering chemicals in order to study various techniques for taking over control of other people's minds. And again, it turns out that this is also a thoroughly documented fact. The U.S. government did indeed run just such a program dubbed Project MK Ultra, which came to the public light in the 1970s, or at least parts of it came to light. The project subsequently branched off into several directions, and the original project, along with many of the other cooperating projects, all went under a large variety of pseudonyms: Operation Midnight and Subproject 68 being a couple examples of such. In 1978, Jonestown, Guyana, was the site of the infamous Jonestown Massacre, wherein almost 1,000 followers of a religious leader named Jim Jones allegedly committed suicide. Well, Jonestown was actually part of the MK Ultra program. Those people were kidnapped and taken to Guyana against their will, and those people did not commit suicide. They were murdered. There was another similar such CIA mind control operation in Pinochet's Chile called Colonia Dignidad. And despite CIA assurances that the MK Ultra program was scrapped in 1973, documentary evidence continues to emerge that the program was far more extensive and horrific than the public has ever been told. The question when dealing with conspiracies is always, what are the facts? And the trick is to pay attention to the people who have no hidden agendas or ulterior motives. And while Occam's razor is an imperfect tool, it still works much more often than it does not work. And speaking of work, it's time to get to work. All right. So after all that, you probably want to unwind a little bit. So Seattle listeners, this is Bela Fleck and the Flecktones. Enjoy. tune was called Apple Butter. The tune before that was called Stomping Grounds. And we started it off with the Sinister Minister. And all those songs were from Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, I believe in the early 70s, though I don't have that information right in front of me right now. I know I've been listening to them all my life, though, and they are one of the most awesome bands of all time. And it's time to go. We'll see you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net. Where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.